This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Chiefs up next. Hey, man, something you're not good at, you're going to share with the audience. What's up, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, man.
Well, Chief, I tell you what, me and my kids and my wife had this argument because I think I can bake a little bit, but they say I can't bake just because I use Duncan High and cake mix or Betty Crocker. It's just not really baking. What do you guys think?
It's not really baking.
Well, I mean, you know, that's cooking to me. That's
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You add eggs and oil and you put it in the oven. It's not cooking.
But you're doing something.
Put it in a bowl, Mike, and you mix the cake mix with eggs and oil.
You know, when you could do the old Bill Cosby bit before, obviously, he became persona non grata. You remember that one? The children were singing my praises. Again, you just feel, you know, again, after I watched that was it six-parter on Bon Cosby, but there was the joke he used to do about making chocolate cake. You know, he goes, "My children wanted chocolate cake, and I thought, what goes in cake? Eggs, milk. These are good things."
Yes.
Yeah, Chris. It was back in the day.
Yeah. Then they go, "Dad is great.
Makes us chocolate cake.
That's right.
And my wife came home." You know, these are all the things we used to watch, and now it's like you can't even quote it.
But the jokes are. The jokes are still funny.
There's a few things that have broken my heart. Dwight Gooden breaks my heart on a daily basis. This guy broke my, it's just because you loved him so much for guys of our generation. Yeah. And it's so damn creepy when you watch this stuff.
Well, I don't think people realize, maybe they do, how big Bill Cosby was.
Right.
So I'm with you, Mike. But listen, the jokes are still funny. People are am I supposed to feel weird because I'm laughing at a joke that was funny 30 years ago?
I mean, a joke is a joke. It's just the delivery system is where we get the issue.
I know, but I'm just like, I know what he did.
Right.
But, you know, but yeah, man. Anyway.
Back to the initial caller yesterday for the game winner. He's still doing something. It wasn't like Chris is ordering something from Publix and
But if you're telling me hey, I cook sweets and you got a box cake, you're just adding
right,
oil.
Could you make a Betty Crocker cake right now?
Yeah.
Okay, follow the instructions. See, I probably screwed that up. I probably jacked that
it's
up.
It's on the back of the box. I mean, come on.
You know me and instructions,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, all right, man. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I was laughing because I had posted this picture of Zion. I said it was Photoshopped. Dre hits me back. He says, "In 3 months, bro?" He says he was just at All-Star Weekend looking retired.
All right, for those that missed earlier in the show, there's pictures now. We said this yesterday. Generation P athletes, that's today's generation. We'll talk more about that coming up in 6:20. But these days, athletes, in addition to having hype men and a cackle of hens that listen and agree with everything they say, apparently Zion Williamson has a baby oil man. He's got a bag man who apparently keeps him glistening for photos at all times.
This is unreal, man. I mean, and by the way, the picture looks amazing. I just don't believe it's him. And so to Dre's point, I just saw him reverse dunking 3 months ago. He didn't look like this. Anyways.
I mean, by the way, we have not even brought him up. He's not even in the conversation for us as far as trades. What's your heat check on Zion now that you see him glistening on the court?
He's so glistening. I don't think there is, Mike. He wants to be there. They're going to give him an extension. They're going to see what he's like coming off this injury. He didn't play at all last year. I don't think there is anything. They're not trading Zion at this point.
Right.
We're talking about the Pelicans. But we will let you hear from Ryan McDonough coming up as part of our top three. He talked to us about who he thinks fits the Hawks in free agency and potential trades as we are awaiting the NFL – or NBA draft on Thursday night and seeing where the Hawks are going to go. We were just talking with Mike Conte. He's going to be hosting the show with Bunk and Deshaun Tate for the NBA draft on Thursday night, and he was saying, you know, they could go so many different ways with this 16th overall pick, and we don't even know if they keep it. So it's going to be intriguing. Thursday we'll be talking about it with you guys tomorrow as we get ready for the draft, but that's on the way. Mike, by the way, a guy just hit us up. He said, what is this Generation P thing you're talking about?
I'll explain. Okay. Coming up at 6:20.
All right, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
Braves in action tonight, guys. Strider didn't have his best stuff. Snicker talked about it, though. But listen, don't get down on Strider. This kind of stuff happens. I still like the overall makeup of Spencer Strider.
I just looked at it the same way. I just figured this one of the nights, it didn't really, it's not hitting on all cylinders for him. And again, as I talk about, he learns something every, and he's got a brief career to draw back on experiences too. A lot of these experiences are first for him, and probably won't be the last time he keeps going out there that everything's just not hitting on all cylinders, and you know, just kind of fighting himself a little bit, wasn't coming out great, and you know, he's got to try, and he will. I mean, after doing this, it's going to be a great experience for him.
It's always a learning thing. You know, he's not been out there. This is, you know, when you talk about home starts, I think it's a second or third home start. He's filling it out. He's getting, you know, a sense of what this is going to be. And Spencer Strider, Mike, this showed me how mature he is, because he said he knew before the game that he was going to struggle last night.
And I felt fine. It's just, you know, some days you don't have it. You know, it's just not. Like in Washington last week, I really felt live. I just felt good. I knew before the game even started, like I was going to do well. I had good stuff. Today, I knew going into it. And that's part of it, is admitting it to yourself and knowing you can't just go in there and try and muscle up. And you know, what worked last week won't work today, that kind of stuff. And, you know, learning how to pitch under those circumstances is important. And that's something I got to work on. And, you know, fortunately, most days I have felt really good, and so haven't had to adjust to those days where I don't, and I wasn't able to today.
You know, as Grant said, I think it happens to all of us. Sometimes you wake up, you're just not feeling it, and he knew at the ballpark. Now, again, as he said, his velo wasn't down that much, but when you are used to seeing him 99 and 100, and the fact that, and we said this earlier, bears repeating, the Giants are really disciplined at the plate. They don't chase. They stay in the strike zone, and that didn't help either. Plus, as Grant mentioned, and we brought this up too, the umpire was squeezing him a little bit. So that all kind of comes together for a really bad day at the office for one Spencer Strider.
No doubt about it. Tonight it's Charlie Morton. We'll see if Charlie can do what he did in his last outing. He was great. I think he had 9 or 10 strikeouts, Mike. Just controlled the game against the Cubs. So hopefully he'll be good tonight. Meanwhile, let's hear from Ryan McDonough, our NBA Odyssey insider, talking about trades and free agency, because guys, July 1st is when free agency starts, and we're going to see what the Hawks are able to do. Maybe they don't do anything tomorrow night, but maybe that's coming. Here's Ryan McDonough answering our question about who fits.
Well, I'm biased since we drafted the young man when I was GM of the Phoenix Suns, but I think DeAndre Ayton and Trae Young would be a dynamite combination. Ayton's, you know, his defensive ability, his rebounding ability, his lob catching skills at the rim. He's an excellent screener as well, and then he also would give the Hawks a pop threat. In some ways, he's a kind of a combination of Clint Capella and John Collins. You know, even bigger than Capella with the lob threat ability there, and then with some of the pick and pop ability and finishing ability away from the rim that Collins has. So that would be my first choice. But again, I'm full disclosure, I'm biased there. Rudy Gobert is more interesting to me on the Hawks than perhaps any other team because, you know, and I think we talked about it last week, but look at strengths and weaknesses. Trae Young, exceptional with the ball in his hands, can shoot it, can pass it, as well as any young perimeter player in the league. Rudy Gobert really hasn't had a great lob-throwing threat in Utah. I think that's one of the struggles and some of Rudy's frustrations with the inability of Utah's guards, Donovan Mitchell and recently Mike Conley, to get him the ball. When he's open behind the defense at the rim, Trae can certainly do that. We know that. And then Rudy's strengths, defense, rebounding, physicality.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are plus and minuses for both guys, but I am more team Andre Ayton than I am team Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
At this point. And again, we don't even know if that's going to be the case. But if you're going to change your defensive identity, Mike, these are two guys that can do that.
Trae and DeAndre Ayton, as he said, again, he's a little biased because he drafted the dude. But, man, I just think the dynamic side of it. But, again, more pieces to come. I still – you know, the more I think about it, I got to get a guy like a PJ Tucker who's going to opt out, and then you get some more of those glue guys. Get another, again, I'm not looking for a superstar, but a guy that can play point guard, let Trey move without the ball, provided Nate's going to allow that to happen. And then, of course, who's going to be going in this trade? I mean, are we going to give up on DeAndre Hunter? Is he going to stay? Gobert makes it too expensive to do all the things we want to do to make this team a real competitor for the championship, right?
I think
so. He's just so good. You take Gobert, all the money goes to him and Trey, and there's just no room for anything else.
It's going
to
be tough. We will have all of your Hawks info right here on your home for your Atlanta Hawks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Not just the draft, but through free agency and beyond. Hey, let's hear from Jay Monahan. He is the PGA commissioner, Mike.
For now.
You're right, because if this is not handled correctly, he may – listen, you don't know. We don't know if things change with the PGA. He's trying to deal with the situation that they're not out in front of. They're trying to catch up now. And with Brooks Koepka making the announcement that he's going to live golf, Jay Monahan was asked about Koepka. This is what he said today.
Listen, every player that's left, I'm going to say I have great – admiration and respect for the contributions that they've made to the PGA Tour. And I'm disappointed that, you know, that Brooks Koepka has left and has joined the LIV Golf Series. I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it, and I look forward to having a conversation with him, but I'm not going to share any more than that at this point in time.
Went on to say that an American institution like the PGA, Carl, just can't compete with a basically the Saudis, in essence, to paraphrase.
Yeah, right.
But saying another government, in this case, the royal Saudi family that's backing this thing. So he went on to say that, you know, it's not a real golf. He took shots at it, again, because it's 54 holes and it's exhibition. Either way, I just wonder what the rank and file is thinking, because they also found out in that meeting yesterday, if this lawsuit goes through the guys that are suing the PGA because they've been banned, that the PGA is an association of golfers, meaning that golfers will be paying for the legal bills in addition to the whoever runs the association. One thing did come out, though. They are kicking the money up. The money is getting jumped up. And then guys are saying, well, where has this been? Why did it take the Saudis coming in here and leveraging this situation to get you guys to cough up more money for us to play golf? The guys who drive the thing, because people don't tune in to watch a bunch of nobodies.
No, it's a fair question. And, you know, it's something that we've been talking about when you're talking about the average tournament going from, I don't know, $8 million to $15 million payout, or 10 to 20, or 15 to 25 million. Hmm. We're talking about the purses for particular tournaments, and that's what Jay Monahan was talking about. All right, coming up, we got a lot more to get to. Mike will explain Generation P. I have no idea what he's talking about.
The most important story of the day. Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Braves in action tonight. Do want to mention Roger Goodell did testify today in front of the Oversight Committee. Daniel Snyder did not, but they are going to subpoena him and try to get him to testify.
Good luck.
That is out there, but that is not what we need to talk about, because Mike, I have no idea what you're talking about when you said Generation P. What's going on?
Take a wild freaking guess.
What happened?
Rhymes with wussy, Carl. How's that?
What happened? What's going on?
Well, this actually broke a couple days ago, and I will give credit because I saw it on Pardon the Interruption, and Wilbon and Kornheiser were talking about it earlier today. We had the TVs on in the studio, and this is about the rookie hazing or practice of getting rookies to spend big money on dinners their first year in the NFL. It came out that first-rounder Garrett Wilson learns that he's going to probably be shelling off maybe $50,000 to $75,000 for the Jets offense, including the linemen and everybody, to go eat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a time-honored tradition in the NFL. And he was on a podcast talking with Ryan Clark and a few other guys about this. And he says, they did tell me about the dinner. I'm going to take all the receivers to dinner. That's cool. I'm excited for that. Clark, it's not going to be cool. Taylor, you know they're going to run that bill up like $75,000. Wilson, what? And he's like, they do the video on this. It's both video and pod. It's hysterical because his reaction is like, what? And they go on to say, oh, yeah. Oh, man, they're going to be drinking that Louis the Trace. You're going to have to buy that at the restaurant. You go, nah, man, they're not going to do me for $75,000. I ain't going to fake it. Clark, you're the 10th pick of the draft. They know you got $20 million guaranteed. So it's pretty funny. And Jameson Crowder was on the podcast as well. He goes, he thinks it's his decision. As if, no, this is the, again, time-honored tradition. And then, of course, we're in the generation right now. And although Torrey Smith would not be considered Generation P because he's a little bit older, he goes, you know what? Rookie dinners are BS. And I'm glad that Anquan Boldin saved me from having to do it when I was a rookie with the Ravens.
What?
Yeah. So again, in 2022, rookies picking up the tab for their new teammates is considered bullying.
Okay, so you are upset about this because you believe that this is just the nature of this generation. Is that what you're saying?
I think in old school, it's a team-building exercise. The Patriots talked about it. It's been documented that I've got to go back and look who the rookie was. But it was a rookie on the Patriots, and I think Tom Brady ordered a bottle of like $3,000 bottle of wine. And you know that Tom is going to be good for it. But it's just one of those, you know, sort of tales that have kind of grown legendary. Yeah, Dez Bryant once had to help bankroll a $54,000 dinner for the Cowboys offense. The Eagles did it for $64,000 on one of their rookies. But it's just part and parcel to being an NFL player. Two parts to this. One, you haven't played it down in the NFL.
Yes.
You've got guaranteed money.
Right.
So it is a form of team building, bonding with the guys. And again, these guys have all done it. They came before you, and now it's your turn to do that. And then later on, you will reap the benefits when some rookie is going to be shelling out dinner for your bottle of Louis Trays or whatever you order in your porterhouse, right?
I agree. And I'll say this. Listen, this is not pledging. They're not on some college campus, you know, binge drinking and putting lives in danger. Mm-hmm. You're going to dinner. Okay, and they're going to order a lot of food and a lot of drink, and they're going to make fun. And at the end of the day, this is what happens. And, Mike, I agree with you. But you know what? Now, to your point, and see, you're getting me riled up, right. These traditions are going bye-bye. You know why they're going bye-bye?
Because players are soft.
Yes, because people are sensitive. All right. Of a sudden, I don't want to do that. Why we got to do that?
Yeah, and again, the other thing is, you know, years ago, in case you're wondering where this goes sometimes and people won't play ball with the tradition, Jeremy Shockey. Stud tight end out of Miami. He had transferred from a junior college, played initially, I think, in Oklahoma. And then when he went to the Giants, like every other team, you've seen this on Hard Knocks, the rookies will get up and sing.
Yeah.
And it will either be they sing a pop tune or they'll sing your alma mater. And the joke was Shockey had no idea, like most Miami fans, what their alma mater sounds like. So, or whatever he was going to do, he refused to sing. And then he got into a shoving match with a teammate, and it was on. It was on until the first game of the preseason when he ran over three Browns at the Hall of Fame game, and they said, oh, okay.
He can play.
He can play. We'll back right. off on that.
Right.
So I don't know. It just, to me, there's things that I think we, like anything, you know, when it goes above and beyond, but when a guy's making $20 million to help split $75,000 with a couple of rookies, as crazy as it sounds, the unreality of the reality to people in their cars,
yep.
It's something other players have done. It's sort of cyclical, and some guys now have a problem with it. So now now like everything else in the world in 2022, it's a thing we shouldn't be doing.
We talked about this when we were watching and you know, enjoying Winning Time. The idea that Magic Johnson got orange juice and a newspaper for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar every day when he was a rookie is unfathomable now.
Right.
You can't even picture that because you see Magic as a five-time champion, one of the greatest players ever, but he was no bigger than anybody else. And when he got there, captain was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Right. What you need, Cap? Orange juice, newspaper. Close the door. This is what has happened to some of the greatest players in the history of the game, Mike,
right.
And even to a lesser extent, some of the guys who we've never even, you know, gone on to have the kind of success that other stars have. The point is, this is a process. This is what guys do. And it may sound stupid and corny to you, but Mike is saying to me, I can't believe this. And he's going off in the break. And I said, fine, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because there is something to be said. Now, do you think this is generational? Do you think this is just where we're at in society? Or do you think, hey, guys are above this now. They think that they don't have mm-hmm. to do this stuff.
Well, I think there's other ways to do it. Now, look, again, I'm just waiting for someone to pop off and say, you know what? They should just let that rookie give that money to charity. Okay, fine. Whatever you want to do. It's a time-honored tradition, but like anything else because some
yeah, but then they can't bust your balls over dinner and having a good time and what to expect in the league. It's a teaching process.
Humble yourself.
Yes.
That's what it's about. But again, you can't be humbled now because again, now it's a trigger and you're being bullied and everything. And again, I'm not sounding like an old man. It just is what it is. There's guys out there that have done it. That's right. You know, you got guys, and I love it. Fred Taylor said apparently the rookies on the Patriots that year, they had to split about a $56,000 tab between by 10 guys.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady orders a $3,000 to $5,000 bottle of wine to take one sip.
Just cause.
He's going. Yeah, he's going.
Just cause.
But again, it's just like I said, there's things out there. And again, to someone who's never competed or lived, made that money, and again, it does sound like a crazy darn thing, but it's something that's going on in a lot of sports, just like carrying luggage, carrying the bags, carrying. Nobody does that stuff anymore. So, okay, I mean, look, the world keeps spinning. It's not the end of the world, but it's just another wrinkle to Generation P.
All right. What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. You can text us. Let us know what you think. Snit, I know what you think, Snit. Don't say that. I know what you think. You can find us on social media as well. It is just one of those interesting conversations when we talk about the changing complexity of sports. A lot of this stuff we were never privy to until guys told these stories. You didn't know a lot of this stuff was going on. But now that you do, and then you hear, you know, guys fussing about it or whatever, it just makes you wonder, you know. And Mike, every generation, I've said this, whether it was my grandfather, or my dad, trust me, I am not tougher than any of them. Can hearing their stories and how they grew up and what they went through, it's just what it is. So if you're of a certain age, if you are a 50-year-old guy listening to this show, there's no way that a 20-year-old could tell you any stories that would make you feel like how he's going about his business is tougher than what you went through.
Right.
But that is a generational thing. No matter what my dad said, my grandfather's like, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I had to deal with. And then my dad did that to me, and I'm like, oh, well, it is a different world. So I understand all of that. But I do think, Mike, there are certain things, as long as nobody's getting hurt, traditions like this should remain because they're worthy. There's something to them for every guy that's been through it.
And the way that it was getting spun by, I guess it was Anquan Boldin, and it was Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith is saying, you've got guys coming out of the league financially illiterate, and now you're putting this on them. Well, yeah, I get it. In the big scheme of things, you hope that Garrett Wilson doesn't burn through $20 million guaranteed, and he's got good people in his life and good financial advisors, but that shouldn't preclude him from doing a tradition which teams use to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
But again, like everything else, everything else becomes a federal case. So that I saw it. You and I were chatting about it. Look, everybody goes through their own experience. I've never walked a mile in somebody who's listening to steps, nor have they walked in mine. You know, we've talked about this a million times. When you start out in radio, you don't make any money, okay? You got a bartender, you got to work three or four jobs. It's what you do. And it's the only thing that I know. So that's my field of reference. I'm sorry if you are not willing to work two or three jobs as you're trying to make your way in the world, but that doesn't make me a bad person because I did it either. That's what becomes, again, Carl, becomes that zero-sum game. Well, you're full of crap, and it's, you can't do that now. Why can't I do that now? Restaurants looking to hire people all over the city right now. Okay, it's the one industry where you can get a job. So there you go. Get off my soapbox. Yeah, boomer.
I was going to say, boomer!
Yeah, I mean, it's again, but that's what I love, and that's why on social media, when you go down this road, it's like, well, I never experienced what you experienced, so your experience is obviously garbage. And that's not the way the world works, kids.
No,
sorry.
No.
Bill Maher did a great job on this last Friday on his show, basically breaking it down.
All right, man. You guys can hit us up. We've got to get to our game winner. Also, real quick, we were talking about this earlier, and just to get you guys, you know, updated on this story, I don't know where the PGA is going, Mike, with this, but I don't know if more guys are going to leave or not, but Brooks Koepka leaves. We find out today that the British Open, which is the Open Championship, is basically telling all the guys in LIV Golf they can come play in the British Open. Here's the point, guys. None of these majors, okay, the Masters is different, but none of the majors are neglecting the guys that are leaving the PGA and going to the LIV Series an opportunity to play in their majors. Mike, I don't know how that helps the PGA because if I can go do this, make this money, and still play in the majors, why wouldn't I do it? So the Open now comes out and says, yeah, you guys can play.
Yeah, I saw David Faraday was talking about this. He goes, basically, it comes down to two things. The PGA wants the majors to not accept him, and LIV Golf just says, hey, they just want them to let them play, and now we know which way it's going. The British Open wants Ian Poulter. They want Lee Westwood, okay? Yes. They want Paul Casey. They want all those guys, and that's why it's – and again, it's not their fight. The PGA has unfortunately gotten behind it. I said this earlier to you. It's kind of like the NC2A. They should have come together with the players and give everybody a piece of the action off TV or some form of revenue sharing. But they dug their feet in, said nope. And then the game has passed the NCAA by, and now we have this name, image, likeness scenario that people apparently can't live with. So the PGA, Carl, at the end of the day, Monahan was asleep at the wheel. Needed to be proactive, wasn't. Yeah. And then, look, whatever you think about Saudi Arabia and the money – And Phil made his feelings plain. I wouldn't really care to watch 54 holes. I think 72 is kind of the standard. Guys are in their prime, but they're willing to pay. And if you're willing to pay, a guy like Koepka, he might never be the same golfer with these injuries. Same goes for DeChambeau. So well, cash it in.
He's getting 100 mil.
Oh, hey, real quick.
That's the report.
NBA News, Woj saying there's a lot of parts to this. Not that it concerns the Hawks, but Detroit has traded Jeremy Grant to Portland. It's like a three-team deal. Detroit and Portland and Denver all swapping picks. So it's already started, Carl, in light of the draft.
All right, you're going to hear a lot of that coming up tomorrow. Hey, coming up next, we got our game winner, Mike Bell.
Hey, this will be fun. Since we did the rant, your first job. Your first paycheck is a paper route. You're just working on tips.
Yeah.
First job you got a paycheck for.
All right.
How's that? Remember you go, who's this FICA woman and why is she taking so much out of my check?
I was so excited when I got my first check. I was so excited. And it was nothing.
You and me both, partner. 404-741-0929. Your first job with a paycheck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man, the first job, and again, mowing lawns, shoveling snow, that was great. But the first job you actually had a paycheck, where you actually had to go to the bank and cash it, or, you know, it was a direct deposit? I don't know.
I don't even know if it was direct deposit. I'm trying to think.
That came later in life for you.
Well, no, I'm trying to think. When I was my first job, I don't think I had direct deposit. Mike, I don't even know if I had a bank account.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I had. I think I went and opened one because I had a job. That would have been like 15. Maybe I was 15 or so.
They would. Now, the first job that I had, I was bussing tables. And I'm trying, but even then, that was cash. They just pay out cash.
Yeah.
It was off under the table.
But tips? No,
and the waiters would pool the tips with some of the. If you did a good job, you get a piece of the action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as far as like, I was 15, best job ever. I worked in a liquor store. One that was like giant. It would be like guys like a Publix or Kroger filled with booze in my hometown in Long Island.
Okay.
And you met my buddy VJ.
Yeah, yeah.
And we worked, guys. And so when we weren't like, you know, unloading bottles and crates and stuff off the trucks, playing wiffle ball in the basement, it was the greatest job ever. You know, some lady would come out with a big booze order. You carry a case out to the car. That was about it. It was great. It was a great job.
That's cool.
And obviously the fringe benefits.
I would
shrinkage.
Agree.
Things get broken. You know, just take this one.
True. So you got to take stuff home.
The boss let us, Chris. It wasn't larceny.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. One of my first jobs, I worked in like a repair shop for a guy who owned an auto repair shop and kind of just ran the errands and picked up parts and stuff for him like that. That was like one of the first jobs where I actually got a check, which, it was nothing. And then to your point, the restaurant business and you know, waiting and all of those things. But I just remember getting that first check, Mike, and looking at it. And I want to say my first check, you're going to laugh at this, maybe not. I want to say it was $50.
It's all right.
It was like $50. And I was like, I got paid. I got paid. This is great.
Squid, what was your first paycheck?
I was working for Cobb County Parks and Recreation. I started that job in between my junior and senior year of high school. I was making $7 an hour, and I was getting 40 hours a week. But I mean, dude, we used to have to change trash liners every morning.
Ooh.
And let me tell you something: a park in Cobb County—that's
work.
After the whole weekend,
has been shenanigans and folks coming and going,
picnics.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, one time, they decided they were going to have a picnic with shrimp and left it in a garbage can over the weekend, 100 degrees. Woo! Tell you what, that'll make your stomach curl.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like that need to be a union job right there. No. How about you there, Turtle?
Five Guys Burgers and Fries, baby.
Nice.
Okay.
Were you the grill man working the front? What were you doing?
I was doing the register. Got them tips for the rest of the crew.
That's cool. That's a good gig.
So there you go. So we've laid it out for you. 404-741-0929.
Now let me ask you guys this: do you have your first radio check?
There wasn't enough money on it to actually.
Neither
keep
was
it,
mine. So, yeah. I have mine.
You kept it?
Of course.
I wouldn't know. I've got my first business card. I got my first check.
I have it because I look back at it and go, Damn, it feels good.
Right on.
All right, man. I was curious. I just wondered if you had it, Chris. If you, Bo, you don't have your first one, your first radio check?
No, I should have. I should have kept it because it took me a year and a half in radio to even get a paycheck.
Wow.
But no, because it was direct deposit, so I don't even know what happened to
it. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
It's a great question. That's really cool. You got that.
Oh man.
Hey man, who's up first, Chris? Steve. It's brought to you by Ingles Low Prices. Love the savings. Steve-O, first paycheck.
Hey man.
Hey
hell.
Man. Hey man.
Hey, enjoyed meeting y'all at Dobbins. I'm that retired Blackhawk pilot.
Oh, nice. Man, it was Thanks great
Thanks for your
meeting
service,
you.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time out there. Thank you.
Yes, it was. Hey, so my first real paycheck was Allied Van Lines in Chamblee. We won't talk about Red Lobster at $1.90 an hour. I moved up to...
Allied Van Lines, you're working for a living. You're moving stuff, right? Yeah. You're moving stuff. Hey, I appreciate that.
Oh, did he drop? He was saying Red Lobster. But driving vans is basically, that's what
or I just I know there's a youngster probably just loading the vans.
Loading the vans.
Truck, man.
By the way, that's work too, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
Hey, man, who's up next for us? Bryson. Hey, man, you're in the game. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
My first real paycheck, it was when I was working at Super Target, and the job was pretty cool, even though I can't believe I was getting paid $7.75. I can't believe I worked for that little. But the job was okay until I had to work on Black Friday, and they threw me back there in toys. And ever since that day, I've always looked at them kind of sideways because I was back there on Black Friday with no walkie or no PDA. So you know how my day went.
Dang, son. Yeah, and again, for those who don't know, that's the big shopping day for Christmas, and that's when everything goes haywire, and there's a kid back there stocking the toy shelves.
It does. I've seen it crazy. Mm. I mean, again, I've never gone out, Mike, on a Black Friday.
I've never done it once.
But I've seen it crazy.
Right.
I've had family members say, hey, we're going to get in line at 4 in the morning and all that stuff to get a TV. Come on.
Hey, man, Braves at home tonight trying to get back
on track.
Although
they did come back with three TVs for like $75.
I was like, not a bad deal.
Damn, I should have went.
Hey, man, it's Charlie Morton. We get good Morton tonight, by the way?
Yes, good Morton tonight.
He's going up against Rodon, who used to give Godzilla all he could handle, Carl.
Rodon.
Carlos Rodon for the Giants. Who's up next, Chris? BK, hey, man, you're in the game. What you got?
Hey man, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, those were all good first check stories, by the way, from y'all. I got a funny one, too, though. So it was November 2005. I applied for Lanier Parking, and my first assignment was November 23rd, 2005, which was opening day for the Georgia Aquarium.
Oh, my God.
And it was so many people out there, T.I. and his family. Gladys Knight was out there. Ric Flair was there. So many celebrities out there. It was such a great time. My first paycheck, we got paid every 2 weeks. My first paycheck was like $800. I don't remember what it was per hour. But I guess it was okay for back then.
Not bad at
but,
all.
But, yeah, that experience was pretty fun.
That's what's up.
That was a bomb. That one at first, I mean, still is. You know, by there doing its regular business hours, people are packing it and enjoying.
Yeah,
who's
packed.
Up next, Chris? Ramil. Hey, man, you're in the game. It's brought to you by Ingles. What was your first paycheck?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
And mine gonna seem a little weird because I'm from down south Georgia. So my first job paycheck was working in a watermelon field, which is actually pretty good though because you got about $500 a week. So that was pretty good.
Now, what did you do? What did you do in the watermelon field?
You literally go in the watermelon field, y'all get in a row. The man on the outside, the very outside row, he got the easiest job because he only sets the watermelon that's in his row. But everybody that goes further and further in, they have a harder job because they're touching everybody's watermelon. They have a saying out there that the bear gonna catch you. And I tell you, you get tired, Jesus Christ. Also, I just went home and sat in the tub and just went to sleep.
It's work.
That's how tired I was.
That's work. That's work.
Yeah.
That's good, though.
Sounds
man.
Like you see that a cool hand, Luke.
Well, I wanted him to explain because I don't know if most people realize that. That's serious business. Being out in those fields, it's just not, I'm gonna go pick a couple of watermelons. It's not like that.
Damn. That was very intrinsically Southern, that story right
he
there.
He said it. I'm from down south.
South side. Hey, man, who's up next, Chris? Roth. Hey, man, you're in the game. What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
My first job was at the Salvation Army 23 years ago. I got paid $6 an hour to stand outside grocery stores ringing the bell.
You got paid to ring the bell? I mean, we volunteer. I guess you can get paid. We do that and volunteer it when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I wondered. So I'm guessing, Mike, they still pay, right?
Right.
I talked about this during the
holidays. I mean, I guess if you get to wear the uniform, you get paid. But if you're just a volunteer.
But when you're like walking in and they go ding, 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 and you're trying not to get eye contact. Sorry, guys. It's just the truth. And you're like ding, ding, ding. Don't look over. Don't look over. Hello. Damn it. Yes, I'll give you.
My old man was a genius. He volunteered for the Salvation Army. I told you. He used to put the kettle outside the liquor store during the holidays. It's a constant cash flow.
Oh.
People are buying some hooch, you know, a little guilty, some of them.
Yeah.
Throw it in a pot.
Okay. That's
target,
cool.
Target-rich environment. Hey, it's our man, Swede. He is our octogenarian, wrapping things up. What's up, Swede?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
First of all, as far as the NFL, let them, it's called an initiation. Let them do the thing with the food. As far as my first job, it was stacking bolts of fabric for a garment manufacturer in Los Angeles, and it was $1.25 an hour, and if you got overtime, it was $1.50 an hour.
Wow.
Great fun, but then you know how old I am, so that's how long ago that was. Thanks,
guys. There was the one time that Rita Hayworth came into the shop, and that was exciting.
$1.50. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, this is the deal.
The struggle is real for many years.
Yeah, whatever. But whatever the pay was when you started working was the pay.
Right. Well, I mean, when John Fricke made his way to California with those Hokies, you know, during the you ever read The Grapes of Wrath?
Sweet. Thanks so much, man. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show. So it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Hey, by the way, there's a reason why this show's number one, and it's because we have guys like Swede who are 80. He told us that.
Right, right.
And we got 20-year-old guys who listen every day, and we got 25 and 35-year-old guys and 40 and 45-year-old guys. We can't do it without you guys, so thank you. Swede, appreciate you sharing that story. Hey, man, tomorrow's NBA draft. Reminder, Mike Conte, Andy Bunker, DeShaun Tate, they will be taking on the draft. It's Hawks Night Draft Party. Starts at 7 o'clock. Mike, by the time we get done tomorrow, I'm guessing there'll be some more trades that will have happened. You talked about the Pistons making a trade, right?
Right. Multi-teams involving Portland. A couple others are involved. So you're going to see a lot of this. A lot of Woj bombs going to pow, start to drop. Real quick, who are they going to go in the goal tonight? There's confusion. Even the media covering the Avalanche don't know who the coach Bednar is going to go with. Kemper was hot garbage in Game 3. They had to pull him.
Terrible.
May go with the Czech goalie. Either way, they got issues right now over there with the Avalanche. Maybe the Lightning going to get some mojo, man, tie up the series.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a sweep. I said it wouldn't be. Lightning showing their championship pedigree. Hey, thanks to our guest today, Ryan McDonough, stopping by. Grant McCauley as well. Our man Connor Riley talking about the Dogs. All those interviews online at Odyssey.com. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned, man. John Chuckery's coming up. 7 o'clock, he's got a full show for you, and he'll be talking plenty about the Braves and the Dogs as well. Chris Turtle, great job today. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. Roger Goodell in front of the man today at Congress, basically saying, I can't move out an owner. I guess I could start the conference. What a bunch of crap. We looked it up. Okay, we're talking about Daniel Snyder, and Daniel Snyder is not going to testify. They're trying to put his feet to the fire with a subpoena to get him to go in front of this oversight committee and explain what the heck is going on with this team. Carl, if they want to get an owner out, they can get an owner out. Some would say maybe it was the confluence of the over-the-top stuff that he was doing in the office, talking about the former Panthers under Jerry Richardson, and then it was the Me Too movement. Carl, the Sports Illustrated article talking about all the stuff that Jerry Richardson was doing dropped in December of 17. By May of 18, the team was sold. So are you telling me they can't move an owner out? What has Dan Snyder got on these other owners?
Interesting. When you say something's not a threat, it usually is a threat. And LIV Golf is a threat to the PGA. I don't care what Monahan says, Mike, about this not being a big deal and, oh, we're going to deal with it. Right now, the PGA is struggling to figure out a way to how to go about their business. Raising the purses is one step. But I don't think that's going to be enough. The PGA, guys, is in trouble right now. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you've been sent to Kroger to get tangerines for Chris.
I need a good pounding right about now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.